Happy Friday, Nashville. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you, broadcasting live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We are bringing you into the long weekend and a lot of football this weekend. Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Even tonight, we got a couple of good games. Excited to get into college football today. Andrew Allegretta from Vanderbilt Football is going to join us at 10:30 to preview the Commodores opener against Charleston Southern coming up tomorrow. Connor, appreciate you coming on. It's your first week of school, and you're back.
Yay. Yay. Yeah, it is the Connor Newt farewell tour at the campus of Middle Tennessee
right.
State University.
Yeah, your last first day of classes.
Yes. I capped it off the first day of school with a minor collision.
Oh.
In the parking lot.
That's always tough.
Yeah, it was my fault, but.
Again, Connor?
Minor, though?
Yeah, very minor.
Okay.
Like, it's not going to cost me a lot.
But, good to hear.
But still, it's the fact that it happened is what pisses me off. But regardless, I'm here. I'm off every Friday now, so.
We love it.
If you ever need, if you want to start Newt Fridays, I'm here.
Well, next Friday, I won't be here, so maybe it'll be
Newt Fridays.
It might be a Newt Friday next week, as I will be en route to Blacksburg for Vanderbilt,
he's
Virginia
going
Tech.
Home.
So I'll be up helping out in the booth for that one with Vanderbilt. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to chime in, we'd love to hear from you. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We got to start with the big news from yesterday.
About Michael?
About Elon and Duke.
Oh, yeah.
Just kidding.
I locked in on that game.
Kyle Schwarber hit 4 home runs yesterday.
Baseball ended in, like, July for me.
Not for me.
Yeah,
Tigers
didn't
play last night, though.
Yeah, I know. For you.
But like, yes, the big news, as Jerry Jones would say, Michael Parsons was traded to the Green Bay Packers yesterday. And I think, like most people, I was one of the people out there who was saying there's no chance he actually gets traded.
I was with you.
I guess we underestimated Jerry Jones and what he can do. So he did trade Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers for 2 first-round picks and Kenny Clark. And I don't know exactly what Dallas was thinking. I understand $47 million a year is a lot of money. But you traded away a guy who is at a premier position, he's probably a top 10 player in the league, and he's just entering his prime. That usually isn't a formula for success when you're trading away a player. And we'll see, as it always is with these trades, you don't know who wins for a couple of years. Like, yes, you can say that the Cowboys shouldn't have made that trade, and I probably would agree with you, but you never know. If Micah can't stay healthy, if those first-round picks end up being higher than they typically are for the Packers, this could end up working out for Dallas, but right now it doesn't look very good for Jerry Jones.
I mean, there's a couple things circulating the news that I'm dumbfounded that how you think you're going to get the support of the people and results. This is probably the top of those. You look at the trade on paper, and I saw it on paper yesterday. I was like, okay, 2 firsts is not a bad return, and then you get Kenny Clark, who's a all-pro level defensive tackle. Then you go a little bit deeper. And you think, okay, the Packers are going to be good. So those first-round picks are probably bottom 10 picks in the first round. You're probably drafting 20 to 30, 32, possibly.
Yeah, usually the Packers are either in the playoffs or right around the playoffs.
And I think Micah Parsons, like we've talked about with the Titans, I think Micah Parsons makes you a win or two better than you actually are because he adds that element to your defense that Jerry apparently doesn't think he can stop the run, which he's phenomenal at stopping the run.
And Kenny Clark is a good player.
But he's 30.
But he is on the backside of his career, and I believe I saw he's coming off one of his worst seasons, maybe his worst season of his career. It's like, yeah, I get it. You got a player who can help you right now, and Jerry made a huge deal about how bad they were at stopping the run. And sure,
Micah Parsons is good at
Kenny Clark can help you with that. It all comes down to these 2 first-round picks. What do you do with them? And I'm starting to wonder if Jerry Jones is gearing up for one last rebuild. I'll put that in quotes because I think he's at the point in his life where he wants to get another Super Bowl before he, you know, passes away.
Really?
I think
I don't think he cares about football anymore.
Really, that's where you... I think he's trying to do everything he can to gear up for one last run, and I wonder if that means using these picks to go get a quarterback next year. I understand Dak is under contract, but I think he might like Arch Manning. I'm wondering if that's where all of this is heading. He wants to have as much ammo as possible to try and go up and get Arch Manning to stay in the Lone Star State and see if he can turn him into the franchise quarterback for the last couple of years of Jerry Jones' life and go out and try and win a Super Bowl.
I talked to my uncle yesterday, who is a diehard Dallas Cowboy. First off, he was heartbroken. Like he was pissed. I'll just say that. And I don't blame him. I kind of sympathize with the Cowboys fans because they can't control what they're... You want to talk trigger happy owners. Jerry Jones is the definition of trigger happy owner. They can't control what they do. But to go kind of counter your point, I'm kind of convinced Jerry doesn't care about football anymore. I'm convinced Jerry cares more about being the marketing machine that the Dallas Cowboys are, and maybe in a negative light, but they made some headlines yesterday.
They did. He said he wants to be a year-round soap opera. And
I mean, he got people talking about
it. He's living up to it.
Jerry is the definition of all press is good press, even if it's bad press. Jerry got some pretty bad press yesterday, right? You go watch that press conference, and it made him sound like a moron. Not sound, I think he is, but but you listen to that press conference and you kind of see, okay, I don't think this guy is in touch with what his football team actually is.
I mean, the most basic issue yesterday in that press conference was calling him Michael. It's like, are you really that out of touch with your team that you don't know his actual name? Like,
that's the thing about Jerry. I think he's out of touch with his team. Then we get to December and Jerry tries to start coaching. Like, he'll start making moves that don't need to be made. Like, remember when he traded for Amari Cooper? And maybe you could argue that put their receiving core a little bit over the top, but what came out of it?
Right.
Absolutely nothing. They made the playoff and lost.
The last 10 years, basically since Dak's rookie year, because Dak's rookie year, they were the number one seed mm-hmm. in the NFC. So basically since 2016, they have been trying to find the missing piece to go make a run, and they just can't do it. They still haven't made the NFC Championship game since, what, 1993?
It's been 30 years.
30 years, maybe a little bit more recently than that. But still, he's chasing one last run at it, and I'm wondering if maybe he realized that this core isn't going to be the group to do it. Chip from Mount Juliet on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, I'm a Packer guy, but you have to think, though, Dallas hasn't won the Super Bowl with Micah, Bengals didn't do it with Hendrickson, Raiders didn't do it with Crosby, Bears didn't do it with Khalil Mack. You need pieces surrounding him. I agree with that one pass rusher doesn't win you a championship.
Yeah.
But
the thing is, the Packers have multiple pass rushers. And
right.
Now you got the best of the best.
And I think they feel good about where their offense is. The Packers are going for it. And I think I saw yesterday it was like Brett Favre, he won his Super Bowl when he was 27.
Mm-hmm.
And was it Reggie White they traded for at that point? Or they traded for somebody.
It was Reggie White.
Was it Reggie White?
Yeah, because Micah...
Yeah, I think you're
yeah,
right.
They brought in Reggie White.
Micah
then
posted his video yesterday, and it was clips of Reggie White
and
on
then
the Packers.
Aaron Rodgers at 27, they traded for Charles Woodson. Then they won the Super Bowl. Jordan Love, 27, they traded for Micah Parsons.
The Packers are the weirdest franchise all time.
They somehow continue to be competitive every single year, and I don't know if I would pick them to win the Super Bowl this year, but
no.
It is the NFC, and I think you put yourself with this trade into that conversation with the Eagles, with the Lions. The Commanders, I guess, were in the NFC Championship game last year, but I would honestly put the Packers above Washington now.
I would too.
I think the Packers realized that the NFC is pretty wide open. The Eagles, obviously, are the favorite, but I think the Packers have put themselves in a really good spot for a chance to go and make one run at it this year. And yeah, you're now paying, what, close to $100 million to two players.
Yeah.
So who knows how sustainable this is. You're probably going to have to cut a couple of key contributors over the next couple of years to stay under the cap. But
But they're young right now.
Right. You have an opportunity to go for it right now, and they took it. We'll see if it actually pays off and they can make a run this season. Let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our friend Adam from Portland is on the line wanting to talk Micah Parsons. Adam, good morning. What are your thoughts on this shocker of a trade?
Yeah, it's wild, man. I never thought it would have happened. But what ticks me off, though, Jake, man, is that that's all they got for him was two firsts and a good player. Jeff Simmons would have been that good player. He's probably better than dude. So you might have even got away with like a first and a second. I don't know, especially as high as your draft picks are. It angers me that the Titans didn't look for it. I know I love these guys who are like, oh, well, you're a long-term team and they're win now. The next 4 years, dude, like 2 years, we should be a good football team heading in the new stadium. Like Micah Parsons will help us now and help us later. So I don't know. I want to hear from somebody that says we at least made a phone call. That way I can sleep easy on this, because Jeff doesn't fit with the Titans that I want to see. And I think Tavondre Sweat would fit his spot. So you had Micah Parsons next to Tavondre Sweat. You got a pretty good front line on defense. So I don't know. It's wild to me that the Titans haven't even been talked about with this.
Yeah, Adam, we're going to get into that, because I had the same thought of, if you put Jeffrey Simmons in that trade instead of Kenny Clark, I don't know if you have to give up two firsts. Like, if they're looking for the same price.
He had me, and then he lost me.
But I also do think that Jerry's price probably started with two firsts.
He had me, and then he said, Jeffrey Simmons is better than Micah Parsons. And I'm like...
No, I think he's saying Kenny Clark. Better than Kenny Clark.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, well then, yeah.
Yeah, that's the point that I was going to make, is that... Yeah, I think maybe the price could have been a little lower if you included Jeffrey Simmons, but we'll get into that in a little bit here. Matthew Nashville, thanks for letting Reggie White not trade to the Packers. He signed there in free agency, but still.
Same result.
Off-season acquisition. Ended up being added to a team with, again, 27-year-old quarterback getting into his prime.
Young receivers. We'll see. They're a Super Bowl contender now with this move.
Right, and in the AFC, I don't know if they would be, because... If Jordan Love goes into the playoffs and has to face Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, and Patrick Mahomes in three straight weeks, I don't know if Micah Parsons is even enough to win those games. But in the NFC, let's say they're the 2 seed and you have to face, I don't know, J.J. McCarthy, Brock Purdy, and Jared Goff in 3 straight weeks to make the Super Bowl, or Jalen Hurts. Like, it's possible. And I think the Packers have put themselves, at the very least, in the NFC Championship conversation.
Let me pose a question to you. We can get to this on the other side.
Let's do it.
Do you think that Jordan Love is a better quarterback than Dak Prescott?
We'll have that conversation coming up next. Let us know on our text line, too. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt with you on this Friday morning. We got plenty to get to throughout the show. Again, right now, reacting to the huge news from yesterday across the NFL. Micah Parsons traded to the Green Bay Packers. Dallas gets back 2 first-round picks and defensive tackle Kenny Clark. We'll continue talking about this. Also, had some college football last night. We'll react to a big upset, at least on paper. USF blowing out Boise State yesterday. First top 25 upset of the season. Also some Titans thoughts, and we'll get into a huge weekend of college football. Andrew Allegretta from Vanderbilt joins us at 10:30, and we'll go through the 3 top 10 matchups coming up over Labor Day weekend. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game.
Firmly did me, made a commitment to Michael this spring, Micah, to pay him. The minute that we saw that we were quite possibly were going to have an issue about whether or not we could do a contract or not, that gave us time, that gave us imagineering, that couple with bringing in a new coach and bringing in a new staff, we felt it fit for us to have more players, more excellent players, if we do a good job of acquiring those players, plus have a team this year that would give us a better chance, dare I say that? But absolutely, it's not a zero that we're dealing with as far as how much better that we are trying to be, even not having Mike.
That was Jerry Jones yesterday. One of his roundabout answers about why they decided to trade Micah Parsons. He did correct himself, at least, there when he said Michael off the top. But Jerry Jones didn't really have a lot of good answers for the reasons they traded one of the best defensive players in the league yesterday, sending him to the Packers for two first-round picks and Kenny Clark. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. So Connor posed the question heading into the break. Do you think that the quarterback situation Micah Parsons walks into now is better than the one he's leaving? Is Jordan Love better than Dak Prescott? And I think it's comparable. Like, I think
they're the same quarterback.
I don't think either of those guys are going to elevate a team to go win a Super Bowl. But I think if you put a great situation around them, they could get you there.
Yeah. The thing I think that sets, on paper, Dak Prescott, apart from Jordan Love, is CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is an all-pro caliber wide receiver, and Jordan Love doesn't necessarily have that yet.
Yeah.
Like, I could see Matthew Golden maybe becoming that, but other than that, you've got...
It's a bunch of number twos and threes over there.
Jaden Reed and Christian Watson and Romeo Dobbs. Guys like that are kind of fringe number two receivers, but they all work as kind of a collective, and it works for Jordan Love, so good on him.
Very much a receiver by committee type thing in Green Bay.
Yes.
Matthew from Nashville says, if Micah ends up winning the Super Bowl with Green Bay in the next two seasons, this will join the worst trades in NFL history club. Oh, for sure. Like, it all depends on what happens with Micah and how Jerry ends up using these first-round picks. Because, again, if Jerry does use these to go find a true franchise quarterback to get Dallas back into the Super Bowl conversation, then I think you could make the argument that it all worked out for the Cowboys. But that's easier said than done. It was Matthew Nashville again. He says, if the Saints get the number one pick, there's no way that they're going to trade with Dallas to not take Arch Manning. And that's the risk that Dallas is taking here. If they are planning on using these to go get a quarterback who they think can be a long-term upgrade over Dak Prescott, you have to hope that somebody gets the number one pick that
doesn't
need a quarterback. Like last year, if Joe Milton didn't win that game against Buffalo, the Patriots would add the number one pick, and they could have auctioned that off to whoever wanted to come up and get Cam Ward.
And the Titans are probably still taking a quarterback.
I don't know. I mean, I think if the Titans... I don't know if the Titans would have given up draft capital to go up and take a quarterback.
I'm saying they could probably auction their pick off and take Jackson
Right. Oh, yes.
Jackson
I see
Dart.
What you're saying. Yeah.
No, so, they would take Jackson Dart at number two.
That's what I thought you were saying. Would have taken Dart at two or three.
No, they would probably sell off and, you know...
Right.
Go to the teens, maybe, and then take Dart.
Yeah, I think the Titans are probably a team that Dallas wants to go and get the number one pick because the Cowboys aren't bad enough that they're going to be a top 10 team in the draft next year. Like,
no.
I think...
They'll be a middle-of-the-pack team.
The Cowboys are now kind of where the Packers were before they made the button. Like, those are very similar teams in terms of talent right now. You mentioned the quarterbacks are similar. Yeah, I think the CeeDee Lamb of it all makes it a little bit better for Dallas on the offensive side, but the Packers
defense is probably a little bit better. And now he has George Pickens, too, who,
right.
I mean, to this point has not been the caliber of receiver he was projected to be coming out of Georgia, but he's still a young receiver that's developing and, yes, has the greatest picture of all time when being drafted.
George Pickens, he's joining the club of... If the Steelers give you away as a wide receiver, likely you probably don't want them.
Mm-hmm.
Like Antonio Brown, traded to the Raiders. He never played a snap for the Raiders.
Chase Claypool.
Yeah, Chase Claypool, traded to the Bears for a second-round pick that ended up being like 34th overall.
Yeah.
Horrible trade.
Deontay Johnson.
Deontay Johnson has been he has been moved or cut like four times in the last year.
Mm-hmm.
Juju Smith-Schuster, when he left... He wasn't great. Like, he's had his moments with the Chiefs. Obviously, he had the...
Is he still there?
I think he's back. I think he went to the Chiefs.
Yeah, he went to New England.
Right.
And then I
and
guess
then
came
he
back.
Came back to the Chiefs, like a lot of Chiefs receivers do.
Yeah.
Mecole Hardman will probably be back there shortly, too. So, if the Steelers are giving you a wide receiver, likely it is probably not a good idea to take them on, but we'll see how George Pickens works out. Justin from Greenbrier asks, is it too soon to change fandom to Green Bay without being called out for hopping on the bandwagon? I think you would be called a bandwagon. We'll have to check with Robbie Stanley.
Fun fact, that was my team in like the fourth grade.
Man, you should have stuck with it.
You know why? because they had a receiver that I loved.
Who is it?
Jordy Nelson.
Jordy? Yeah.
That's my guy.
I do love – I love Jordy Nelson. As I have always said, there is a great connection between a young boy and the above-average wide receiver.
You know why
team.
I love Jordy? Because he's great on Madden. That's why.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, those Packers teams back in the early Aaron Rodgers days were fun with Greg Jennings putting the team on his back.
Oh, I'm going to do this. Do this for Madden.
Broke my leg.
The greatest sports game clip of all
time.
Yes,
putting the team on his back, though.
Let's go inside the mind of one Greg Jennings.
Jennings and Jordy Nelson and, man, who was their running back? Starks was there.
Eddie Lacy.
The Eddie Lacy years.
Don't forget Wildcat, Randall Cobb.
Yeah,
that was my other
Randall
guy.
Cobb, yeah, that was...
a former Cowboy.
Also a former Cowboy. Former lot of teams for Randall Cobb in the last couple of years. Jets. Matthew in Nashville says, as a Steelers fan, I can confirm what Jake just said was correct about Pickens. Yeah. I don't have a lot of high hopes for George Pickens with the Cowboys. But, you know, maybe this one actually works out when Mike Tomlin decides to send away one of his wide receivers. Who knows?
Yeah.
615-737-1025. If you have thoughts on the Micah Parsons trade being sent to the Packers for two first-round picks and Kenny Clark, let us know. Our phone line is driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will answer the question. Adam from Portland called in the last segment and asked about why were the Titans not involved in this? And I want to have the conversation of what would it have taken for the Titans to make this trade, and would it have been worth it with the timeline that the Titans are currently on? We'll have that conversation coming up next. Later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds take on Charlotte at First Horizon Park with first pitch at 6:35. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up here on 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5, The Game, Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly with you on this Friday, taking you into Labor Day weekend, full weekend of college football. We will get into everything going on across the landscape of college football throughout the show, including a conversation with the voice of Vandy football, Andrew Allegretta, as the Commodores will take on Charleston Southern. That's coming up at 10:30, and we're going to spend the whole 11 o'clock hour just going roundtable around college football.
Come on.
All the big games. We've got three top 10 matchups. We got Alabama, Florida State. We've got Tennessee and Syracuse. We'll talk about all of them coming up in the final hour of the show. But the big news from yesterday, Micah Parsons traded from the Dallas Cowboys to the Green Bay Packers. Two first-round picks and Kenny Clark heading back to Dallas. Connor, we had Adam from Portland call in earlier and ask the question of why would the Titans not do this deal?
Yeah.
And I will say that I don't know if Micah Parsons would have agreed to sign an extension with the Titans.
Yeah.
Like, that was part of this. I think I saw, was it Tom Pelissero, I believe, reported that this deal was agreed to 3 days ago between the Packers and Cowboys. Then it was working out the extension. It wouldn't have shocked me if the Cowboys went to Micah Parsons, if the Titans and Cowboys worked out a trade and said, hey, we're going to send you to Nashville. You got to work out an extension. Micah might just say, nope, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah.
And the Titans aren't making that trade without an extension in place.
And do you think the Titans have the capital to make that extension? Would it make sense for them to even do that?
$190 million is a lot.
I mean, he's making $40 million a year.
Right. Almost.
Crazy.
I mean, $45 million a year for a non-quarterback is steep.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say it's not worth it because Micah Parsons is a really good player. I saw the stat that I think Bill Barnwell put this out, that the Cowboys over the last 4 years with Micah Parsons on the field have the best expected points added per play defensively, and they have the second worst in the league without Micah Parsons on the field. So he is a great player, and I would say if I had to guess right now, I think this ends up looking bad for Dallas in the long run.
Yeah.
But it is still a lot that you have to give up. Two first-round picks and $190 million is not a low price for any player. And I don't know if the Titans, with the state that they're in, would have wanted to make that deal. I understand it, and I said this a week and a half ago when the rumors of a possible Micah Parsons trade started popping up, that he does fit the Titans' timeline. Like, yeah. When the Titans want to be good again, Micah Parsons will still be in his prime, and it would not be a bad move for the Titans to bring Micah Parsons in, because it's the age-old thing of, man, Micah Parsons is Micah Parsons, but a first-round pick could be anything. It could even be Micah Parsons. It's like, you do trade for good players when they become available, but for the Titans, who likely are going to have a high pick again this year and have a lot more holes than just edge rusher, I don't know if you really want to make a trade like this right now.
Yeah, and I think there are people out there that are making the argument, well, the Titans would have gotten two first-round picks, and let's say they go off that trade. They get the two first-round picks, and they give up Jeffrey Simmons in the process.
Yep.
Yeah, you got two first-round picks, but you got to acknowledge the fact that they are low first-round picks, probably. You're probably drafting in, like, 24, 25, and granted, you can use those and probably flip them over to a contender and get a piece or two from that, but again, that's a win-now thing. That doesn't fit the Titans' timeline right now, and I don't think you should go with the mentality of, we have first-round picks just to have first-round picks. I think it's got to fit your timeline in some capacity. As far as having, you know, pick number 25 in 2026, I don't think that makes sense for the Titans' timeline.
The Titans hoarding picks is, like, I'm never going to be somebody who says, make sure you keep the picks, don't trade for great players. Because usually the team that trades for the great player, it ends up working out. We all know how the A.J. Brown trade worked out.
Yep.
It's like you traded A.J. Brown thinking you could turn Treylon Burks into a younger, cheaper A.J. Brown, and he caught one touchdown in his entire career. Scored two, caught one. I understand that going and getting a great player is usually the right move, but for the Titans, when Micah Parsons isn't going to turn this team into a Super Bowl contender right now. And again, I will preface it with how we started the conversation. Micah Parsons wouldn't have signed an extension here. So don't worry about it. It wasn't ever going to happen. I don't think Micah Parsons would have agreed to come here. But
yeah, it's a last-place team. He wants to go to a contender, clearly.
I think the best way for the Titans to get good fast is trade back and get more picks instead of trading picks for one player. Because you need a top-level edge rusher.
Oh, I just completely confused myself. I'm sorry.
It's all good. I understood what you were getting at. The Titans need a top-level edge rusher. They're going to need a top-level wide receiver because Calvin Ridley won't be here forever. You're going to need a top cornerback. You're probably going to need an inside linebacker. You're going to need a safety at some point. You're probably going to need a tight end unless Gunnar Helm turns out to be a real dude at that position.
Yeah.
So it's like you have so many holes on this team right now. Yeah, Micah Parsons would be great, and he probably does accelerate the progress that you make this year, but does it get you to a Super Bowl-level roster faster? I don't know if it does.
Okay, let me redeem myself here because I completely confused myself with the whole picks thing. So the Titans would be sending two first-round picks and Jeffrey Simmons to the Cowboys,
which would be a steeper price than what the Packers play.
The reason for that being is the Titans are not good right now. Those first-round picks would probably be high first round picks, not low first round picks like the Packers. High first round picks. Again, to me, that doesn't make sense for the Titans timeline because you need those picks, and the best way to develop a young player, especially with the holes you need, like you said, you need a receiver, you need an inside linebacker, you need an outside linebacker, you need a corner, you need all these pieces. The best way to find the elite prospects like that is in the upper echelon of the draft. Do you really want to give away your part in that process to the Cowboys for a win-now move that doesn't really make sense for your time? Like, Micah Parsons, the player, makes sense for the Titans' timeline because he's young enough, he's in his prime, and he's a damn good football player. But as far as the picks are concerned, I think that makes more sense for the Titans' timeline because those are going to be high picks. You're going to be drafting for Cam's running mate in the long run if he is, in fact, the guy, which I think the Titans are concerned he is, or convinced that he is, you're going to be drafting that edge rusher, which maybe you do find a Micah Parsons in the draft or something.
Unlikely.
Unlikely, but possible. you need those pieces for your future, and I don't think sending those off to the Dallas Cowboys would really make sense.
Right. Micah Parsons.
Did I redeem myself there?
Yeah, there you go. You got it. Micah Parsons on a banner on the new stadium in 2027 would look fantastic, and I think it would sell tickets. And I do think Micah Parsons this year is probably worth an extra win, at least.
Yeah.
Bringing in a player like that probably does win you an extra game this year.
I think he makes any team a win or two better.
Right. But does going 7-10 this year and then not having a first-round pick to continue to build this team, does that make you more than an 8-win team in 2026? I don't know if it does.
You'd be like, stuck in mediocre land for the next few years.
Right. And I think Micah Parsons in 2027, sure, you might have a roster that's good enough that maybe he is a key piece to a team that's a playoff contender. But if you want Cam Ward to have the best situation around him by the time that new stadium opens, the most picks you can have in the top 100 is probably what you should be looking for. Like, the Titans' best-case scenario this year is still ending up with a decently high pick and being able to trade back and pick up an extra second, an extra third, and filling in these holes that this team has right now, because 2 years down the road, Calvin Ridley's not going to be here,
mm-hmm.
and L'Jarius Sneed clearly isn't going to be here. So you don't have a wide receiver and cornerback are both top five premium positions in football.
And people will try to say, well, they have Io Manor and DK. Maybe they will, but right now, and I think you can agree with me on this, Jake, I would not expect neither to become a
wide receiver one.
Like, no. I think the ceiling for Io Manor, who I think is the better of the two, is probably a solid wide receiver two.
Right. Elik Io Manor, I think there's hope, and I think the Titans really like what they've seen from him so far. But when you take a guy in the fourth round, you're hoping for a contributor, not a star.
Yeah.
Amon-Ra St. Brown is an exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
Like, sure, there is a chance Elik Io Manor ends up turning into a superstar receiver. I'd say it's probably like a 2 or 3% chance. But I'd say the large percentage of the outcomes for Elik Io Manor is that he's your wide receiver 2 or wide receiver 3 for the next 5 years.
Mm.
And you still need a wide receiver 1.
And good on you. But
right, that's what you're looking for in the fourth round. You're not, like, stars are great on day 3. But you're looking for guys who can be contributors for you on their rookie deals.
I mean, you're looking, if the Titans send those picks to the Cowboys, you're looking at foregoing possibly your Jeremiah Smith or your Ryan Williams or a young receiver in college football right now that is setting the nation on fire that is going to be a stud in the NFL.
Yeah.
You don't want to put that up with your young quarterback that you think is the future of your franchise?
Yeah. No, it's a very good point. Like, Let's say Cam Ward has a great rookie season, and I'm going to go very, like, full-on hypothetical here. Let's say Cam Ward has a great rookie season. Let's say he wins rookie of the year, and mm-hmm. you feel great. But then he gets hurt in year two, and you kind of scrap 2026 and end up with a top-five pick to go get a Jeremiah Smith.
You wouldn't have that first-round pick. You'd go get Parsons.
This is exactly what happened with the Bengals. It was his rookie season that he got hurt, but Joe Burrow got hurt. They kind of mailed in the rest of the year. They got Jamar Chase.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's like, if you make this trade, yeah, Micah Parsons helps you right now and for the next few years. But you may miss out on a great player who can help you for 10 years instead of Micah Parsons, who, yeah, I think he matches up with the timeline you want of trying to get back into contention. But the long-term goals of this team is not just be good in 2026, 2027. They want to be good 2027 to 2030.
Yeah. So you and I are on the same page. If the Titans should not have made this trade.
I think.
And I don't think it was ever in the conversation for them, to be honest with you. I think Brinker and Borgonzi were probably monitoring the situation. And yeah, if we can get him for a low enough price, then maybe. But
if there was.
We're not going to sacrifice our next few rounds of few years of first round picks for a guy that
right
doesn't help us that much right now.
I agree with Adam when he said I'd love to know if Mike Borgonzi made a call, because I think it's worth making a call.
Yeah.
Right, and saying
kick the tires,
what's the price? But that price, two first round picks for a team that likely will have a high first round pick this year probably not worth it. Jeremy in Clarksville says, we keep making the assumption that the Titans have a franchise quarterback. I'm not convinced the Titans do yet. The Titans picked him first overall, so the Titans are making the assumption they have a franchise quarterback.
They are convinced that they have a franchise quarterback.
As fans, we can judge, but when you take a guy number one overall, the Titans have to be convinced that they have a franchise quarterback and operate that way.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be in love with him if you take number one. Like, why would I take a quarterback that I don't really like at number one overall just for the sake of doing it?
Right, it's like fans and us, we can be skeptical, and I...
That's our job.
I like Cam Ward. Am I 100% convinced he's a franchise quarterback? No.
No,
but,
because I haven't seen them on an NFL field yet.
Right, but the Titans made the pick at number one. They turned down a king's ransom of a trade from the Giants to take him. They have to operate under the assumption that he is their franchise quarterback until proven otherwise.
Yep.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. This isn't just a concert, it's a cause. Trunetics Rock the Cradle helps give fragile newborns a stronger start and keeps moms close when it matters most. With Tim McGraw live on stage and your support behind every beat, Ascension St. Thomas is turning music into healing. Tickets are on sale now at RockTheCradleNashville.org. There were other stories and games that happened yesterday. I have a smorgasbord of topics that I want to get to wrap up hour number one. We'll do that next. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. This season, catch MTSU football on Totally Hits 93.3. Tomorrow, the Blue Raiders will host Austin Peay. Kickoff is at 6 p.m. Coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and at TotallyHitsNashville.com. Friday edition of Next Man Up here on 102.5 The Game. Again, Andrew Allegretta, voice of Vanderbilt football, going to join us at 10:30, previewing the Commodores matchup with Charleston Southern tomorrow to open up the year. And we will go rapid fire around college football for the final hour, go through all of the big games going on Labor Day weekend. But the Micah Parsons trade kind of threw me off yesterday. I had a whole hour planned of...
Oh, I know. I got your text.
We got tons of great topics from yesterday, but the Micah Parsons trade threw a wrench in all of it. So we're going to get through all of them right now.
Thanks, Jerry.
The first one I want to talk about, Boise State looked horrible last night.
I mean, I put a tweet out last night. Boise State, granted it's one game and they were on the road, Boise State may be this year's Florida State.
Yeah.
Because they looked awful.
Maddox Mattson, their quarterback, looks like he's a good runner, but he missed a couple of easy throws. Like, there was a 4th-and-2 where his receiver's standing at the sticks wide open in the flats, and he just airmailed it into the sideline. Turnover on downs, and I think USF scored a couple of plays later. Now, USF's quarterback, Byron Brown.
He looked good.
He looked great.
They have good receivers, too. Like, Chaz Nimrod, former Vol.
Right. He made some plays.
Some plays last night. The fake punt was beautiful.
I mean, so at first I thought that was the punter who threw it, and I was like, oh my God, their punter's got a cannon. He threw that 40 yards.
I think it was a backup.
It was their backup quarterback who they snuck onto the field and had him fake being the punter. It's a great call.
Alex Golish is a fun coach.
Alex Golish, I mean, he got aggressive.
Future Wildcat head coaching candidate.
They blew them out, 34-7. I mean, I would venture to say that probably ends Boise State's playoff hopes.
Yeah, they're done.
I mean, if they want out from here, maybe.
I don't think they're the best team in their conference.
Yeah.
Like, I think UNLV may have them this year.
UNLV didn't look great last week.
They didn't
either, though.
But
they got to figure out their quarterback situation first. So.
Right. Yeah. They got a former UVA, Anthony Calandria.
It's your guy. That's your guy, Jake.
I hate that guy.
Crazy what happens when, you know, your Heisman contending running back goes to the NFL and you don't have him anymore.
It was funny. They were talking about how, like, Boise State led the country last year with 10 games of 200 yards rushing or more.
Boise State didn't. Ashton Gentry did.
Yes. The Heisman runner-up was actually a big part of that. Who knew? Also,
shocking, right?
Rick Barnes gets a lifetime contract. Parker Kelly, our resident Vol. How you feeling?
Don't get excited.
No, it was well deserved.
Nope. Lifetime contracts are bad. You're speaking to the king of lifetime contracts.
Yeah. I'm not upset about it whatsoever.
Well, I think with Rick Barnes, you kind of know that
Yeah, I mean, he's only had a few years. But.
I don't want this to seem dark. Like, lifetime probably doesn't mean very long for Rick Barnes because he's going to retire. That was like...
I can say three, four years, maybe. Five max.
As soon as that popped into my head, I was like, man, this is going to sound like I think Rick Barnes is going to die. No, I'm saying that I think his lifespan as a coach probably isn't going to last, like Parker said, three or four more years. So
no, I'm just messing with you.
I like it. You reward Rick Barnes.
Lifetime... is bad when you reward a lifetime contract to a coach who is, you know, 5 years into his tenure.
The good thing is he has a little bit more juice now because I thought when Zakai Ziegler left or declared for the draft that, you know, Rick Barnes might go with him. But he seems rejuvenated because he's hit the portal hard. So.
Yeah.
And got a top three recruit
in
the class of 2025.
Yep.
Amen.
So Rick Barnes gets a lifetime contract. Good reward for a guy who's had a great career, and we'll see if he can get over the hump in his last couple of years of his career. Also, the rivalry uniforms came out for the NFL. What did you guys think? I thought some of them were good. Some of them weren't great.
I thought Arizona's looks like a tortilla.
Yeah, I liked San Francisco's.
San Fran's is cool. I like the Bills.
The Patriots ones are getting a lot of hate. I actually don't hate the Patriots ones.
They're okay.
They're fine.
They look like the MLB All-Star uniforms when they were in Seattle a couple years
ago.
That's what those look like to me.
I like the NE logo. Like, it's unique for the Patriots.
I don't understand the Jets because they're supposed to be like Gotham City Football Club.
Right.
But Chicago is Gotham City Football Club. So I don't really
understand. When you think
that.
Of Gotham, what city do you think of? You think of Chicago?
No, I think of Gotham City.
Gotham is supposed to be New York.
That's what I... Because when I think of Gotham, I think, oh, New York City probably
right,
encapsulates
but then,
that.
But then it was funny, like in The Dark Knight, it was Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Like they showed Hines Ward returning the kick as the stadium, as Bane blew up the stadium behind him. So.
And they actually filmed a scene of that in Chicago.
Yeah.
So but, they were in both cities.
But like in the new Batman, the Robert Pattinson one... The ending scene is at Gotham Square Garden or whatever it is,
yeah,
and it's literally Madison Square Garden.
Man.
So I guess that's the beauty of Gotham is you really don't know.
So I hope the Bears come out with Gotham City Football Club because they're next year too.
So the Titans are next year. That's what came out yesterday. The AFC South and the NFC North are getting the rivalry uniforms next year. What do we want for the Titans? My vote, black uniforms.
Yep. Yep, black with light blue accents.
I think it's going to be red, though. I think that is...
I'm fine with that, too.
I would be fine with red because there's been a lot of fans who have been asking for red jerseys for the longest time. I think they're going to give in and give the red jerseys next year.
You know what I think Houston's going to do?
Oh,
blue.
No, but they'll get sued. Mm. You saw Amy did not play any games with the University of Houston when they put out their Oilers-themed uniforms.
Which they have back now.
Which they did bring back, but I think they had to, like, change the color a little bit. So we'll see. Maybe Houston does try it and makes an Oilers-type uniform. But I think Titans, they're getting them next year. They're going to be black or red. I would lean red.
What if the Jags do mustard again? That'd be great.
How about this? Instead of the Titans and Jags getting new uniforms, just bring back the Color Rush for one Thursday night game.
I liked the Titans' Color Rush.
Those were electric games, watching Jags-Titans on Thursday night. Blake Bortles versus Marcus Mariota.
Marcus got a new number yesterday, by the way.
Oh, he did?
Mm-hmm.
What is he now?
Number 8.
Oh, he's back to 8.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I like it. I like it.
He should be.
Joey from Bellevue says, when I think of Gotham City, I think of Batman.
Exactly.
Thank you.
I just, I watched the new Batman the other day.
It's again. Good. It's long.
It was one of those, I saw it in the theater, and I was like, I don't really like this. But it's one that you learn to love over time.
I like it.
So I watched it again, and I was like, yeah, this is pretty, it's not The Dark Knight. And I think that's my problem, is I compared it to The Dark Knight when I saw it. The Dark Knight's the best Batman.
I don't know
movie
if
ever,
anybody will beat the Christian Bale trilogy.
No.
But the Batman was a good movie. I'm excited for the second one. Have you watched The Penguin?
No, I haven't.
You got to. It's on HBO Max. It's like an 8-10 episode season.
Mm-hmm. Really heard nothing good. But good things.
Really, really
I do
good.
Like, I am watching Peacemaker right now.
See, I tried to start that,
hilarious.
And then I realized that, like, I haven't seen The Suicide Squad, and
it's
apparently
good.
You have to watch that.
It's really good.
So I guess maybe I need to delve back into
Plus,
that.
I mean, this is John Cena.
It's John Cena, right.
Of course.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Our number one in the books on this Friday. When we come back, we will talk some Titans today. The Titans practiced yesterday, a couple of injury updates from Brian Callahan, and also I know Connor has some strong thoughts on the captain's decisions. We will get to that ahead of Andrew Allegretta joining us at 10:30. Tune in for the Borchetta Bourbon Music City Grand Prix race on 102.5 The Game this Sunday. Coverage begins at 1 p.m. and is brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt, Parker Kelly, next man up. You're on 102.5 The Game.